Internet. If y'all would all come in here and let's stand up, we're going to gather for worship. We're starting with glorious freedom. We got a lot of different things going on in this world, but in Jesus Christ, we've got freedom from all these things that we're going to sing about. Fear, everything. Once I was bound by sin's galling fetters, chained like a slave, I struggled in vain. But I received a glorious freedom when Jesus broke my fetters in twain. Glorious freedom, wonderful freedom, no more in chains of sin I repine. Jesus, the glorious emancipator, now and forever he shall be mine. Freedom from all the carnal affections, freedom from envy, hatred, and strife. Freedom from vain and worldly ambitions, freedom from all that's sad in my life. Glorious freedom, wonderful freedom, no more in chains of sin I repine. Jesus, the glorious emancipator, now and forever he shall be mine. Freedom from pride and all sinful follies, freedom from love and glitter of gold. Freedom from evil, temper and anger, glorious freedom, rapture untold. Glorious freedom, wonderful freedom, no more in chains of sin I repine. Jesus the glorious emancipator, now and forever he shall be mine. Freedom from fear with all of its torments, freedom from care with all of its pain. Freedom in Christ, my blessed Redeemer, he who has rent my fetters in twain. Glorious freedom, wonderful freedom, no more in chains of sin I repine. Jesus the glorious emancipator, now and forever he shall be mine. Now and forever, now and forever he shall be mine. Amen. All right, Brother Bill.
Praise ye the Lord, praise all ye servants of the Lord, praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. The Lord is high above all nations, and his glory above the heavens. Who is like unto the Lord our God, who dwells on high, and who humbles himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in the earth. He raises up the poor out of the dust. He lifts up the needy out of the dunghill, that he may set him with princes, even with the princes of his people. He makes the barren woman to keep house and to be joyful, the joyful mother of children. Praise ye the Lord. We want to welcome all of you who are here with us today, including those who will be tuning in by the internet. And I encourage all of you to tell your friends, your family, people that you know in other parts of the nation and the world that we are on YouTube, Ustream, and Sermon Audio Video, and they can look at the services. Sometimes they're up a little bit late. They're not up at 11. They're not live streaming. They may come up a little bit later on, but be sure and tell them that. Let us pray. Our Father, we call upon you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, who loved us and gave himself for us. We thank you for this day. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. We pray for all of those who are sick, who are ill, who are afflicted, those who are traveling. We pray, Father, that you'll raise them up. We pray for our nation with the coronavirus and with the economic strain, that you will undergird us, Lord, and that you will cause your people who are called by your name to call upon you. And Lord, we do call upon you. We ask you for mercy. We realize that this nation is ripe for judgment, but we ask you to remember mercy in the time of judgment, to turn us and we shall be turned, to call us and we shall run after thee. All these things we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, and for his sake, amen.
Well, good morning again, everybody. Number 20 in your hymnal, so it should be up on the board. We praise thee, O God. We're approaching Thanksgiving this week, a uniquely American holiday. And it's what a blessing that we have a heritage of gathering together specifically to give praise and worship to the Lord for all that he's done for us. Number 20. We praise thee, O God, our Redeemer, Creator. In grateful devotion our tribute we bring. We lay it before thee, we kneel and adore thee. We bless thy holy name, glad praises we sing. We worship thee, God of our fathers, we bless thee. Through life's storm and tempest, our guide hast thou been. When perils o'ertake us, escape thou wilt make us. And with thy help, O Lord, our battles we win. With voices united, our praises we offer to thee. Great Jehovah, glad anthems we raise. Thy strong arm will guide us, our God is beside us. To thee, our great Redeemer, forever be praised.
Amen. Let's see, there's Miss Lynn. Miss Lynn, you requested a song this morning. Can y'all get on your feet again? Because I don't think we can sit down and do this song. This is an on your feet praise song. I think all of them are on your feet, but that's just me. It's called Feeling Mighty Fine. Like we said, there's a lot going on, but we can wake up in Jesus Christ and feel great. When we look to him, that's all we need.
Well, I woke up this morning feeling fine. I woke up with heaven on my mind. I woke up with joy in my soul, 'cause I knew my Lord had control. I knew I was walking in the light, 'cause I'd been on my knees in the night. And I prayed to the Lord to give me sight, and now I'm feeling mighty fine. Well, I'm feeling mighty fine. I've got heaven on my mind. Oh, don't you know, I want to go where the milk and honey flows. There's a light that always shines down inside this heart of mine. I've got heaven on my mind. Feeling mighty fine.
Miss Sue, take a round, Miss Sue. Y'all clap your hands.
Well, we're walking with Jesus all the time. We're walking and talking as we climb. We're traveling a road to the sky, where with Him we'll live when we die. He's been telling me all about that land, and He tells me that everything is grand. And He says that a home will be mine. So now I'm feeling mighty fine. Yes, I'm feeling mighty fine. I've got heaven on my mind. Oh, don't you know, I want to go where the milk and honey flows. There's a light that always shines down inside this heart of mine. I've got heaven, heaven on my mind, and I'm feeling mighty fine. Oh, I'm feeling mighty fine. I've got heaven on my mind. Oh, don't you know, I want to go where the milk and honey flows. There's a light that always shines down inside this heart of mine. I've got heaven, heaven on my mind, and I'm feeling mighty fine. I've got heaven, heaven on my mind. Here we go. And I'm feeling, how you feeling? You're feeling fine, that's how the Statler Brothers do it. I mean, hey, why not? let's see here. I don't know if we have announcements right now or not. Hope you all, if I don't get back up here again, I hope you all have a wonderful Thanksgiving, wonderful time with your families. I encourage you to do what we have sang about this morning, have freedom from fear. We can be careful, but we don't have to be afraid of the things that we don't see, because we have a Lord that's in control of all these things. All right, you can be seated.
Well, good morning to each and every one of you. It's good to see you. And believe it or not, there are a lot of smiling faces out here, and I'm thankful to see it. We do have something to rejoice in, don't we? Our God's on the throne, and He's in control, and He has us by the hand, and everything that's going on comes by His hand. So, you know, we can be thankful. That's the reason we have a holiday called Thanksgiving. It's not for us. It's giving thanks to Him who has given us all things. Well, we want to welcome our first-time visitors, any of you that may be here for the first time, or any that may be joining us by the internet for the first time, welcome. We have a number of individuals who are sick that we want to be in prayer for. We have more here than I was expecting to see when I first came in. It was, well, that's what Pastor said. It may be just us four, no more, but we do have some more here, so we're thankful. Just to mention a few who are sick, we want to continue to remember Susan Wall, and she's beginning to get some strength back after a long illness. Want to remember Charlie Haynes' daughter Kim and her daughter Amanda, who have been ill. Also for Tom and Linda Estes, who have been ill but are feeling better. Also for Kathy Gall and their son Austin, Ed Adamowitz, the Smith family. Also want to remember our brother Wally Haddon, Linda Foster and the problem she's had with her ankle. Dale Hazelwood, that's the reason I'm up here. He's not feeling well this morning. Continue to pray for our sister, Pat Jackson, Evelyn Carrico and her sister, Betty, in Alabama. I think our sister Evelyn travels back and forth between here and Alabama to check on her sister. So let's lift her up in prayer for traveling mercies as she does that. Continue praying for Bob and Wendy Smith. Also, Carl Perry's brother, Bobby, as well as Carl and Ruby Perry. We want to continue to remember George Bishop as he battles bladder cancer and has shingles on top of that. So let's remember him. Also, Michelle George, Brother Gary George's wife, who's battling cancer, had surgery. They think they removed the cancer, but she has some radiation treatments to undergo, so let's be in prayer for her. And also want to remember our sister Sue Martin, who continues to struggle from repercussions from her concussion. And then Stephanie Johnson's husband, Jim. Oh, well, I'm sorry to hear that. Okay. Well, we want to remember then Stephanie Johnson's family at the loss of her husband, Jim. That's always a hard thing. All right. Want to also remember, I had an addition here, our sister Judy LePetri. All of you know she's had some problems recently, and we want to remember her. Calvin called and said they're not here today because she's had some bad days. So let's remember that family as well. Okay.
We want to remember all of these persons. I would encourage you maybe to bring your pad or something and take notes. Lynn and I called Stephanie down in Florida and spoke with her. I don't think it was last night. I think it was night before last. And we did not realize that Jim had passed away. It came kind of suddenly. He got sick in March, and he's had some problems with dementia and some other problems. So I want you to please remember her name is Stephanie Johnson. And she used to worship here with us before they moved to Florida. Her husband, who is deceased now, is named Jim. So just remember them down in Florida.
I also wanted to say that Tom and Linda Estes are here, Joe. They're right here. And we're glad to have them back.
I didn't know that. I looked back there and I didn't see you.
He's got a hat on. That's
all right. Well, we're going to sing a song that everybody should be, you should know this song. I put the lyrics up there for us, brethren, because I don't remember what it was. All right. You got them? Thy loving kindness. All right. Thy loving kindness is better than life. All right. Let's try this. Okay, ready? Thy loving kindness is better than life. Thy loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise thee, thus will I bless thee. I will lift up my hands in thy name. I lift my hands up unto thy name, O Lord. I lift my hands up unto thy name. My lips shall praise thee, thus will I bless thee. I will lift up my hands in thy name. Thy loving kindness is better than life. Thy loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise thee, thus will I bless thee. I will lift up my hands in thy name. I lift my hands.
Come on, lift your hands up if you got them.
Unto thy name, O Lord. I lift my hands up unto thy name. My lips shall praise thee, thus will I bless thee. I will lift up my hands in thy name. I will lift up my hands in thy name. I will lift up my hands in thy name.
Amen.
Good. All right, here's a song that Lynn wrote many, many years ago. You have to put that up there too. It's called, Oh, There Is a Fountain, Freely Flowing Fountain, the fountain that came from the side of our Lord Jesus Christ. All right, sir. Oh, there is a fountain, freely flowing fountain. Yes, he shed his blood for me. Oh, there is a fountain, freely flowing
Yes, he shed his precious blood for me. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Christ the sinner's refuge, sinner's only refuge. Yes, he shed his blood for me. Christ the sinner's refuge, sinner's only refuge. Yes, he shed his precious blood for me.
Say it with us now.
Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
We will give him glory, praise the Lamb of glory, cause he shed his blood for me. We will give him glory, praise the Lamb of glory, cause he sets a guilty sinner free.
Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
One more time.
Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
I wrote that for my Sunday school class because I wanted the kids to know that there's no other refuge and no other place to hide except in the blood of Christ. And the best way to teach kids is over and over and over again and point them to the scriptures. And so that's where that came from, just a little ditty. Okay.
All right, well, I'm going to sing a song for you. I'm going to try to. And this is a song that Leon also wrote years ago, and it's entitled, Is This the Way to Jerusalem? I think we've got a band up there that's going to play. Is this the way to Jerusalem? I'm a stranger and I'm lost. They tell me they took a man called Jesus and they nailed him to a cross. And they tell me that the blood flowed from his wounded side till it stained that old rugged tree. And though I didn't even know his holy and his blessed name, they tell me that he died for me. You see, I was condemned to shame and sorrow, and I was convicted by a lifetime of sin. But he said he would die so I could be free.
from the burden and the shackle of my sin. Yes, he said he would die so I could be free to go to heaven with him. Some folks say that he's dead, but I know he lives, 'cause he promised he'd come back again. Oh, will you show me the way to Calvary? I want to see him face to face, and I want to bow down before his sovereign throne and just praise him for taking my place. And I want to bow down and pray in holy name just for setting me free. Well, it's the only way to heaven. Show me the way to Calvary. Show me the way. Thank you. Thank you. Every week in this congregation, we ask the Lord for his help before opening up his word. We realize that he will never leave nor forsake those who've trusted him. But he can from time to time leave us to ourselves. And when that happens, he teaches us to look always to him. So we appeal to him with this little song. Our Father, I stretch my hand to thee, no other help I know. If thou withdraw thyself from me, I'd like for you to stand with me, and I'd like for you to open your Bibles to Psalm 136. Psalm 136. And we're going to do a little bit of a responsive reading. You'll get some idea of a kind of worship that the Hebrews did of the Lord. Psalm 136. This is what we call Thanksgiving week. Thanksgiving, of course, is a unique American holiday. I'm afraid that many Americans, I won't say most, but many Americans see it as just a holiday. They do not realize that this is a holiday that honored the Lord for guiding these pilgrims who were fleeing persecution to this land of freedom and liberty, where they could in all good conscience worship the God of Scripture. So they were thankful for His mercy, and here's a psalm that emphasizes that. And what I want you to do is I'm going to read a part of the verse. I don't know what kind of translation you have, but you can see that at the end of each verse it is, "For His mercy endureth forever." And that's what I want you to say, "For His mercy endureth forever." So we begin at verse 1. "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods, for His mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for His mercy endureth forever. To Him who alone doeth great wonders, for His mercy endureth forever. To Him that by wisdom made the heavens, to Him that stretched out the earth above the waters, to Him that made great lights, the sun to rule by day, the moon and stars to rule by night, to Him that smote Egypt in their firstborn, and brought out Israel from among them, with a strong hand and with a stretched out arm, to Him that divided the Red Sea into parts, and made Israel to pass through the midst of it, but overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, to Him which led His people through the wilderness, to Him which smote great kings and slew famous kings, Sihon king of the Amorites, and Og the king of Bashan, and gave their land for an heritage, even an heritage unto Israel His servant, who remembered us in our low estate, and has redeemed us from our enemies, who gives food to all flesh. Oh, give thanks unto the God of heaven. May the Lord add His blessings to the reading of His word, and let God's people say, "Praise the Lord." And you may be seated. The whole point of this psalm is that every single thing in this world that has to do especially with the people of God should remind us of His mercy. Everything. If you woke up this morning, His mercy endures forever. If you had the strength to get out of bed, His mercy endureth forever. If you know your right name, His mercy endureth forever. If you could walk this morning, got up and walked, His mercy endureth forever. If your mind still works, if your eyes still see, if your ears still hear, if your tongue can still speak, His mercy endureth forever. If you have anything in this world, His mercy endureth forever. If you have health, His mercy endureth forever. If you have children, it is because of His mercy enduring forever. If whatever you have and all that you do and all that you can do and all that you will do will be because His mercy endures forever. And so I decided to speak today. This is one of my favorite psalms, and I have spoken on it before, but it's been many years ago. And I want to just carry you through it, if I can, briefly, to show you, oh, give thanks unto the Lord. You notice it says that in the very first verse. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods, for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endureth forever. The first thing that we're thankful for is we're thankful for what our God is. We're thankful for what he is. He is good, he is God, and he is Lord. If you look at the very first verse, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. He alone is good. He alone can do good. There's none good, no, not one, we read in Romans chapter 3, verse 23. Once a man came to Jesus and said, good master, what thing must I do that I might have eternal life? And Jesus said, why do you call me good? There's none good but one, and that is God. So if Jesus is not God, he is not good. And if he is not good, he is not God. The Lord can do nothing but good. When he created things in the world, after each thing that he created, with the exception of man, he said, it is very good. With man, he said, it's not good that he should be alone. He's good to his people. Can you count your blessings? He has loved us. He loved us when we were enemies. He manifests his goodness to us in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says he saves us according to his good pleasure. The Bible says he works all things out for our good. Joseph said to his brothers when they sold him into Israel and he later became prime minister, he said to them, as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it for good as it is this day. The second thing we're thankful for, we're thankful that our God is God in deed. It says here that he is God and he is God indeed. The word is Elohim. He alone is God. He's God all by himself. He's God of all so-called gods like rulers and judges and kings and presidents and prime ministers. And then it says he is Lord. Verse 3, oh, give thanks to the Lord. That is a form of Adonai. He's master. He's master of everything. He's ruler of everything. He's the boss. He's the superintendent. He's the CEO. He's the governor. He made this universe and he commands this universe. He is a Lord. And then we're thankful to him for what he's able to do. Look at verse 4. To him alone who, the old King James says, doeth, is does. To him alone who does great wonders. Now the first thing you should realize is that he is a doing God. He's a God, he's always doing. Once when they got on to the Lord Jesus and said, don't you know this is the Sabbath and you shouldn't be healing people on the Sabbath? He said, my Father works and I work. He fashions, he executes, he prepares, he performs, he maintains. He is not an absentee God. That's the God of deism, a God who made everything and went off to do everything else. He's not an absent landlord, but he is in charge now. He is involved in all that happens in the creation that he made. He's not a competitive God. There aren't other gods. That's dualism, and that's polytheism. He is not nature. He's above nature. That's pantheism. And he is a doing God. He's a person. Then it says, he doeth great wonders. The word for great here is a Hebrew word that means great in magnitude. It means great in extent, great in number, great in intensity, great in importance. God can't do anything that's not great. Count the stars, can you? Count the sands by the seashore, can you? Count the hairs on your head, can you do that? No, you cannot. All he does is great. We've never found two snowflakes exactly alike. Of all the millions and billions and trillions and whatever there is above that, snowflakes, every single one of them, none of them is exactly like any other one. He doeth, and it says he doeth great wonders. great wonders. It's a wonder that he loves the unlovely. It's a wonder that he saves the unsavable. He makes heroes out of spiritual hobos. He makes saints out of sinners. He does wonderful works, marvelous works, extraordinary works. He does impossible things. He created the world out of nothing. He spoke it and it came into existence. The Bible says in Hebrews 11, verse 3, the things which are seen were not made of things that do appear. Then we are thankful today, and we thank him for what he has done in creation. This is verses 5 through 9. 5 through 9. Verse 5, he made the heavens. The heavens declare the glory of God. The heavens shows his handiwork, according to Psalm 19. The heaven is the seat of his throne. The heavens speak of his will always being done. May thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The heavens testify of the immutability of God. That is, that God does not change. The unchangeableness of God. The heavens witness the power of God. What mighty bodies he has formed, each different to fulfill its appointed rounds. The heavens show the wisdom of God. Look at all the heavenly bodies. They are freely moving in space. They never collide. They never change. The heavenly system moves systematically like a great, complicated piece of marvelous machinery. The heavens speak of the peace of God. On a clear night, a quiet night, go out and study the heavens. That's what the hymn writer had in mind when he wrote, all is calm and all is bright. So he made the heavens. Then according to verse 6, he stretched out the earth above the waters. That is, God made the atmosphere that encircles the earth. He made the earth to cover the seas. Read, when you have time, Genesis 1, verse 9. Let the waters under the heaven be gathered together into one place. Let the dry land appear, and it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters he called seas, and God saw that it was good. Jesus said when he was awakened once, in this amazing passage of Scripture, Jesus says, did you know that Jesus got tired? I know he got tired because he was on a boat asleep. He was on the boat asleep. He'd been teaching all day and teaching all night, and he got tired, and they woke him up. Boy, I hate to be awakened when I'm having a good sleep. And they awoke him up because the sea, the ocean, or the Sea of Galilee was turbulent. And they said, Lord, wake up. Carest thou not that we perish? And he stood up and said to the waters, peace, be still. And the waters calmed down like a little dog at its master's feet. He, as a human being, grew tired, but as God, he was in control. He stretched out the waters, it says. Both the earth and the waters were created and purposely designed in relationship to each other for the benefit of life on earth. These things didn't happen by chance, beloved. They didn't happen by an evolutionary process. He made the great lights, verse 5 through 9. Verses 5 through 9, he made the great lights of heaven. How could we see at night without the stars and the moon? How could the earth be warmed or bring forth its fruits without the sun? The sun shines in the daytime by the order which God has established, and not for any natural cause. It was Copernicus who called the sun the lantern of the world. The sun enables us to work while it's day, and the moon enables us to rest when it is night. The revolutions of the sun marks out the seasons and the year. The revolution of the moon marks out the months. The moon's gravitational pull upon the earth greatly influences our weather and our wind currents and our ebb and flow of the oceans. I wish they'd quit putting things on the moon. I wish they'd quit. About a few years ago, they sent a satellite or a rocket ship or something directly into the moon at full speed. You're going to keep messing around, and we're going to mess up the things here on this earth. Not without his permission, of course. But without the stars, navigation on the seas would be impossible. So all of these things were purposely designed. And then we can praise him for what he's done for his people. Verses 10 through 15, what he has done for his people. It says here that he redeemed them. Verse 10, to him that smote Egypt in their firstborn. It says that God will, he will remove people if they get in the way of his will and his purpose, especially in the matter of redemption. He smote Egypt in their firstborn, it says in verse 10. And then it says the Lord will have a people. He has determined to have them. And he will, as I've just said, he will destroy nations if they refuse to bow to his will. He will deal with individuals if they refuse to submit. And I believe that Egypt is the great historical example of these things. And it says he brought Israel, those were his Old Testament people, he brought Israel out from among them, verse 11. So the world is still talking about that great immigration today. Above 3 million people were brought out from a nation without forming an army, without firing a shot, without drawing a sword. My friends, listen. I am not a pessimist and I'm not a fatalist. And I'm going to live by the grace of God. I'm going to live for the Lord, but I'm not going to worry about any of these things that are happening in this nation. I'm not going to worry about that. That is not my issue. That is not my problem. The Lord Jesus Christ didn't worry when men arrested him. Did he? He said to Peter. Peter pulled out his sword and started swinging. I know it was swinging because it cut off the servant of the high priest's ear. You know how accurate you have to be to cut off a man's ear? He was aiming for his head. That's right. He was aiming for his head. And Jesus said, put up your sword. Put up your sword. Those that live by the sword will die by the sword. Then he said, do you not know that I could call legions of angels for my Father and deliver me? My dear friends, you're not the deliverer, and I'm not the deliverer. Jesus is the deliverer, and I'm going to submit to the will of God, my Father in heaven, and I'm going to let him do what he wants to do. This nation is ripe for judgment. You might not like what's happening. You might not like what's happening in the election. You might not like what's happening in the recounting and all of those things. But I'll tell you this, it won't happen without the will of God. I guarantee you that. And if he wants to overturn it, he'll overturn it. And he has some plan and some purpose. One of them might be that his people are going to trust him and still worship him and still praise him, even in the midst of all of these things, when things are going backwards. My concern is that I may know him and know his righteousness and be lost in him. That's my concern. Everything else, he's in charge of it. The world is still talking about when the Lord brought Israel out of Egypt. They don't talk very much about when God brings a sinner out of sin and makes him a new creature in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the marvel that we should be talking about today, of which this is a picture. Him bringing Israel out is a picture of our salvation. He brought them out, it says in verse 12, he brought them out with a strong hand and with a stretched out arm. In other words, notice first of all, it says that he brought them out. It didn't say they figured it out. They were smart enough to get out. It says he brought them out. And it is clear that God was doing this. It was so great was the power, so wonderful, the plagues and the eventual deliverance. They knew that God was involved. The redemption of Israel was with a strong hand, it says here, not a weak hand. It is with a stretched out arm, and this shows his absolute power and sovereignty. As Isaiah the prophet said, the Lord of hosts has purposed, who shall disannul it? His hand is stretched out, and who shall turn it back? Then he says in verse 13, he divided the sea into parts. I did a little research here, and I found that the area where they crossed went from 8 miles to 16 miles wide. when they crossed over this part of the Red Sea, from 8 miles to 16 miles wide. And the Bible says, with the blast of his nostrils, he divided the sea. Exodus chapter 15, verse 8, with the blast of thy nostrils, the waters were gathered together. The flood stood upright as a heap, and the depths were congealed in the heart of the sea. This was a miraculous thing. Verse 14, he made Israel to pass through the midst of the Red Sea. That is, he gave them the courage. He gave them the courage and the strength to go through the midst of these waters while they were standing up. From 8 miles to 16 miles, according to my research, they crossed over there, and they crossed over safely, and then the Lord released those waters, and it drowned Pharaoh and his army in the sea. I've told you before about when I was in a university years ago, and there was a professor there who did everything he could. It's a local university in Nashville. It was Belmont. When I was already a graduate of a seminary, and then I went back to school, and I got a second degree at Belmont. And I had a professor up there that was in the history department, and he used to call me in his office all the time, shut the door, because he knew I pastored the church. In those days, we were on television. We had our television broadcast. And he would want to talk to me about what was going on in the religion, Department of Religion, because this professor that was in charge of the history department was a believer. And so he would call me in, and he'd want to talk to me. And so we were talking one time about a book that the professor in the Department of Religion had authored. I still have a copy of that book. It was used as a textbook at Belmont University, and in that textbook, he said that what happened was, first of all, it wasn't the Red Sea. He said it was the Reed Sea. Then he said, secondly, he said the waters just undercut the bank, and the bank fell down upstream, and that's what cut them off. So I told him about a little boy that a professor was talking to and trying to make an unbeliever out of him, and told him about how the waters were cut off and that Israel went across, and he said, golly. And the professor said, what? He said, it's a bigger miracle than I thought it was. He said, what do you mean? He said, because all the Egyptians drowned in 2 feet of water. Whoa, man, I want faith like that, the faith of a child. You don't have to figure it all out. You just believe God. That's what the scripture says about Abraham, doesn't it? Abraham believed God. Now, the fact, verse 14, the fact that he made Israel to pass through the midst of the Red Sea ought to tell us something. He could have just lifted them up and set them over on the other bank, but he didn't do that. He gave them the courage, and he gave them the strength to go through it, and not one of them was lost. And that tells us that he doesn't always remove all the dangers and the difficulties, but he makes a way through them for his people, for those who are looking to him and trusting him. Verse 15, he overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the sea. I believe that Egypt, the New Testament says that Egypt is a type of the world. You can read that in the book of Galatians. And Pharaoh is a type of the devil. And he overthrew the world and the devil back in the Old Testament, just like he does today, according to verse 15. And the same God who saved some destroyed others. He's the author of mercy, and he is the author of judgment. And I guarantee you that nothing happens in his world without either his permission or his command. You can bet on it. The same substance which is essential for life, water, may be the most deadly thing in the world if God uses it as judgment. The wicked can't walk where the children of God walked. When the Egyptians tried to cross over where Israel had crossed, the waters drowned them. That is a highway of holiness which can only be walked by faith. This is what Isaiah the prophet says in Isaiah chapter 35. Strengthen the weak hands, confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong. Do not fear. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even with a recompense, a payback. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as a hart, and the tongue of the dumb shall sing. For the wilderness shall break out, and streams in the desert, and the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs in the water, in the habitation of dragons where each lay. And a highway shall be there, and a way that shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools shall not err therein. It'd be so simple that a fool can't miss it, but it'll be so complicated because it's spiritually, it's a spiritual highway that wise men can't figure it out. We're thankful to the Lord for his providential blessings, verse 16 through 22. His providential blessings, verse 16 through 22. It says he led his people through the wilderness, verse 16. Now, how long was Israel in the wilderness wandering around? 40 years. But this says he led him. He led them. They were wandering around. They were lost, but God wasn't lost. God was not lost. He's never lost. And so he led them through the wilderness. They may have thought they were wandering aimlessly, but the Lord was leading them. And the scripture says he preserved and protected both their bodies and their clothes for 40 years. And you think about this, over 3 million people had to eat every day. Over 3 million people. He did everything from making quail come down from the sky, making water come out of a rock, dropping manna from heaven. He took care of them. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2, Moses told Israel, "Thou shalt remember all the way whence the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness. He led thee to humble thee and to prove thee and to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldst keep his commandments or not. And he humbled thee, and he allowed you to go hungry, and he fed you with manna which you did not know, neither did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. Your raiment, your clothes did not wax old upon you, neither did your foot swell these 40 years." These providential blessings. How in the world do bodies last 50 and 60 and 70 and 80 and 90, sometimes 100 and more years? How does that happen? How does your heart keep on beating? How does your mind keep on working? How does that happen? He doeth great wonders and these providential blessings. And then it says in verse 17 through 22, he gives us protection. Verse 16 and following, he protects us by providence. Or he guides us by providence, and here he gives us protection, verses 17 through 22. Protection, and he is our defense. Now, I'm going to let you in on something just between us girls, but don't tell anybody. The God of the Bible kills people. Did you know that? The God of the Bible, he killed Pharaoh's son. He killed all the firstborn in Egypt that didn't have the blood over their doorpost. He that is often rebuked, if he hardens his heart, if he hardens his mind, if he hardens his will, shall be suddenly destroyed, and that without remedy. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 33, I believe. That also says the lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. The God of the Bible is Lord. He is Lord of life, and he is Lord of death. And he can destroy rich and famous people. If they endanger his people and his purpose, he can take the will of those, I would say it this way, he can take the wealth of those who worship it and give it to those who worship him. No wealth, equality with the Lord. We hear a lot today about equality, right? We hear about inequality. Some people have more than others. Well, guess what? There is none of that equality with the Lord. I can show you in the Bible where the Lord maketh rich and the Lord maketh poor. The Lord bringeth down to the grave and the Lord lifteth up. Read it. It's in 1 Samuel chapter 2. The Lord is Lord indeed. He can take the wealth of those who worship that wealth and give it to those who worship Him. All of the land and all of the wealth in this world belongs to the Lord, and He will distribute it as it pleases Him. The battle and the victory is the Lord's. These kings and their people were hardened men of war, and Israel didn't even have a trained army, and He delivered Israel out of Egypt. We thank Him and we praise Him, verses 23 and 24. We thank Him and we praise Him for His grace and mercy to such as we are. It says in verse 23 that He remembered us. He remembered us in our low estate. You remember the thief on the cross? Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. It is amazing to me that the Lord thinks upon us, that He takes notice of us rather than neglect us, that he has compassion on us, that He's pleased with us for His mercy's sake, that He has heard us and He has granted our request, and He remembers that we are but dust, and He has helped us. Then it says in verse 24, He has redeemed us. Verse 24, He has redeemed us from our enemies. Redeemed, the word that's used here, means to pull away, to break off in a vigorous and violent manner. Our sins wouldn't let us go, and so He pulled us away from them. We're thankful for that, aren't we? And then we're thankful, verse 25, we're thankful for His grace to the world in general, who gives food to all flesh. He gives food to all flesh. Who feeds the little birds? Who feeds the lions? Who feeds these animals? The Lord does. The fact that all things are provided for is evidence of the bountiful goodness of the Lord to all the world. The air we breathe, the food we eat, the clothes we wear, the health we enjoy, the houses we live in, all come from the Lord. All of it comes from the Lord. How can we eat a meal and not thank Him for it? How can we walk a step and not thank Him for it? We ought to be a thankful people. We ought to be a praising people. We ought not to be ashamed of our Lord and our God and our Savior, who has given us all things, including His only begotten Son. Oh, give thanks unto the God of heaven, for His mercy endureth forever. Verse 26. I wonder if anyone has what I call a separate check God. You know what a separate check God is? You know what happens when you go out to eat and the waiter comes to wait on you and to deliver your food, and you say, separate checks, please. You remember that? Well, I don't have a separate check God. He pays for it all. I don't pay for anything. He pays it all. Every bit of it. He takes care of it. You don't want a separate check, God, do you? It's kind of like the saying that was popular for a while, God is my co-pilot. You better get another co-pilot then. Co-pilot means you're running the ship, and he's just there to help you in case you get in trouble. You need more than a co-pilot. You need him to be running the whole entire ship. He needs to be the plane, the pilot, the stewardess, the food, and everything else that's in here. That's the God that we serve. That's the God that we praise. That's the God that we give glory to. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for His mercy endureth forever. Our Father, we call upon You in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, who loved us. And we know from reading Your word that all of Your mercy is in Him. It's by Him. It's through Him. No mercy is shown and has been shown, ever will be shown at any time, except through Him. Even in the Old Testament, He was the channel of mercy. And certainly now that He has come into the world, He has come in the flesh, He has given Himself for His people, He has died and suffered and bled, we know that all the mercy that we have comes through Him. We remember what You said in Your word in the book of Titus, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost, when she shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Lord. We thank you for this time that we've had together today to consider all of the things that we should be thankful for. And Lord, they're more than tongue can tell. Throughout eternity, we'll be praising you and giving you thanks for all of your mercy and all of your blessings. We thank you and we praise you and we remember you this morning in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, for his sake. Amen. All right, I'm going to dismiss you with that. You're dismissed, and be careful this week. The coronavirus is on the upsurge, and so you might ought to stay out of each other's faces. And that goes for those who are watching by internet, too.